to talk about sports in Nashville. Presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company. It's Michaels and Mueller on 104.5 The Zone.
Wednesday night here in Middle Tennessee. The sun's trying to peek out. It's kind of a stormy evening, kind of cloudy outside. Michaels and Mueller on the air. We are all trying to stay safe and healthy in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Bad news getting worse. That is not good news. Not good news for anybody who's trying to get slowly back to the new normal. Bob Mueller here coming from my backyard watching my dog sniff around the bushes. News 2 Sports Director Corey Curtis will join us at the bottom of the hour. Ned Michaels, Chris Sanders, they're on the show tonight as well. Hi, boys.
What's going on, fellas?
How are we?
How are we? Do we know how we are? It seems like every time we gather, there's more bad news than good news.
We got to lean into Chris Sanders here tonight for some good positivity because, boy, there's a lot of negativity hanging around, and it doesn't seem to be getting much better.
Man,
how is the concern with you guys with the extension of the emergency order in Tennessee that nixes football for the time being? Now, I know there's plans in the works, but that had to have been a big, oh, no, not that. Sounds like you're going to get 6, 7, maybe 8 games. That's all going to be worked out next week. But, boy, if they don't do football, that would really be depressing.
I mean, it really would. I mean, I've been talking about this in the gym, and about 15 people came up to me and talked to me about, you know, are we going to have football this year? And I think that, you know, Childress is going to, you know, really try to make it happen, because even if we play 7 or 8 games, at least we have football. And it's not just about just playing football. It's the financial things that fuels the other sports. So if they definitely don't have football, it's going to affect a lot of people.
It just, you know, we've been talking about it as a lot of shows and stations have been. And again, I'll take the side and always have. I don't know how they're going to do it in that setting with that sport, the physical contact of it. And then the kids having to go to class. I mean, that's the part. We'll talk about this later in the show, but the professional athletes can be in a bubble. So you got a better chance of doing professional football in the NFL. But it almost becomes, in my mind, more and more difficult, in a way the weight becomes heavier the younger you get. And so college is, if NFL football is the most likely, then college is a 5, and, you know, high school football, unfortunately, in this setting, you know, it's like a 2 of, at least in the fall. Maybe spring, could do spring football, that could work.
Yeah, the only thing, the problem that you fall into is when you do spring football, you got a lot of kids in high school that are playing 2 and 3 sports. So how do you handle if you're playing football, but then all of a sudden you're a good track guy? So how do you do that? I mean, it's just wild how COVID-19 doesn't just affect one area. It affects every area that we're talking about. So I just think that if they come up with a great plan that's feasible for everybody, even if it's just playing, you know, for football 7 or 8 games and have a state championship, but still continue to other sports, then I just think that we can be successful if we try to do it that way.
Chris, how are your kids handling this? We had a coach on News 2 at 6 tonight, and, you know, he was talking about, he said, you know, he's seeing signs of depression in these young kids, but they want to get back into the, you know, their normalcy, but they've been in this for months now, and you have to take football away from them. They're really starting to show signs of depression, and you can understand that, because these are young people that are really being asked a lot of.
I think the one aspect that you're missing is the relationship. I mean, we can talk about football, we can watch football, but when you don't have the relationship part, when you don't see your brother, you don't see your coaches, you don't see, you know, the people that you see every day, I mean, it does get depressing. I mean, you would believe when we started football about 2.5, 3 weeks ago, you couldn't believe the excitement, not just to be on the football field, but just to see other people, you know, your friends, the guys you saw about 4 or 5 months ago before this situation happened. So it was just really good just to see the guys, because we missed the relationship part.
You know, you can't really appreciate the other person's struggle, especially in these times, because we're all kind of, in some ways, focused on our own struggle.
Right.
But the great sports psychologist, Vicki Woosley, who was at Vanderbilt for a long time, now with the Predators, used to say it's all about perspective. Mm-hmm. And Chris, you're so good at offering perspective. And in some ways, what these 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds are going through is extremely difficult. So I'm not trivializing that at all. But think about what the generation in the 1970s was doing. Think about the generation in the 1940s and 1920s. I mean, they were going to war. They weren't missing their football season because of COVID. They were being sent to war. They were being drafted into the United States Navy, the Army, Marines. And so in some way, I think our young people, and even myself, we can take inspiration from that. And listen, if that generation could do it and pay the ultimate price, then you know what? We can toughen up a little bit, and we can make it through this, and somehow we're going to be better for it.
Yeah. I mean, just look at it in 1980, you know, when, you know, we didn't have social media. We just had Atari. I mean, you know, we just had that. And we had ColecoVision. I mean, these kids have a lot of things that they can do. And I know I'm kind of being kind of funny, but they have, you got kids playing Fortnite. And then also, you know, just watching CJ play basketball on his Xbox and all that, he's still communicating with his friends all around the country. So even though the guys are not physically there, they still have something to do. They still talk to their friends. They're still playing, you know, on Xbox with their friends. So just imagine in 1980, if this situation would have happened, what would we do? I mean, that's a scary thing to think about.
Ned, you really hit on something, too, Chris, and you can maybe talk about it a little bit. There's going to have to be so many precautions and guidelines.
Oh,
Chris,
man.
You guys have already been probably talking about what to do. What happens if one of these kids comes down with it or the whole offensive line comes down with it? You're going to have to deal with all these individual aspects. And, you know, the liability aspect, because they're all juveniles, is so much bigger.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have been talking about this and trying to figure out scenarios, what you do. Do you have to quarantine the whole team? Can you quarantine just the people who've been in contact with each other? It's a big job.
Yeah, I mean, I think with high school, you can maybe get away with it because you have so many players. And if you look at the NFL, I think the NFL is going to struggle. Just imagine if the Tennessee Titans are playing their third game and Ryan Tannehill comes up with COVID-19. what do you do? I mean, and then what happens if two of your best defensive guys come up with COVID-19? What do you do? So are they going to extend of having more guys on a practice squad? Are they going to, you know, keep a whole different team? So those are the questions that need to be answered of what to do, not just in high school, but do it in the college ranks and also in the pro ranks.
Isn't it harder, though, in high school? I mean, to say it happens to the Titans, you can always, you know, if need be, do an emergency, go in the free agent and pull back Brett Favre if you need somebody to play.
Yeah. See, that might bring Warren Moon back, dang it. I mean,
hey, you might bring Chris Sanders back.
Oh, No, I got a bunion on my toe. I only got two rounds. I got a hitch in the bubble. That's all I got. I'm telling you.
A hitch might work.
It might work. Yeah. But I just think with high school, you have so many players, and I'm not negating the importance of COVID-19, but I just think that you have so many players that, you know, you might can get away with it and say, okay, you have one of your players coming with COVID-19, one of my receivers. But the depth at wide receivers, you got 10, 11, 12 guys. You just got to plug kids in there that just going to have to play.
You think,
hey, Bob, you asked an interesting question about, you know, what happens if Ryan Tannehill gets hurt. My sister-in-law is in the movie business. She's a grip, and they build the sets. And we were talking about it over the weekend, and it's very similar in the movie business. One of the things they're trying to figure out is, what if you're filming a movie and the star of the movie gets sick?
Yes.
Wow. It's an everybody go home and you don't get paid scenario. So, you know, everybody's motivated to make sure the star of the movie doesn't get sick. So whether they keep the person on site in a trailer and nobody talks to them or nobody gets within 8 feet of them, there are all these precautions that are being made. So at a professional ranks, it's a little bit easy and a little more realistic to keep King Henry and Ryan Tannehill and all these guys completely isolated and secluded in some way until you get to the game. And then you can do everything you want in your setting, but you have no control over the other team's setting.
Right.
You have no control over who's on the field in terms of who's working the game, what photographers are there, if any.
Right.
You know, so that's the hard part, is you can't control everything. And when you get to the game, you have no idea what the other team has done.
Yeah, and all these high school kids are all juveniles. They're all living at home, and so the coaches have less ability to lock them down, as it were. I mean, they're not they're not professionals where the coach can say, you're not going to get paid if you don't do this. So it makes it even more difficult. Chris, do you think that any of the teams care if it's 6, 7, 8 game, whatever it is, as long as they get to play?
I mean, I just want to be out there and play. I mean, I just think that, you know, these guys want to go out there and just compete. I mean, just imagine not competing for 4, 5, and 6 months. I don't know if it's been maybe 4 or 5 months and not competing and just been out there doing something that you love. I mean, just imagine, you know, Ned, he loves golf. Just imagine golf being taken away from you for three or four months. That's a tough deal. So these guys want to get out there and just compete and be around each other. But, I mean, it's just a tough deal overall.
Yeah. And as a professional, you kind of get it. You know, I was out for an entire year with an injury and in the meat of my career, and that was tough, but I understood the process and I understood that I was, you know, going to come back. And there were obviously, I'm oversimplifying that, Chris, you know, with injuries, it's a little more than that. But you're never going to get that senior year of high school football back. That's tough. I mean, at that age especially, you don't get the bigger picture.
No.
And I'm not sure that you should at that age, frankly. I mean, that's a very hard thing to handle.
It is. I'm sorry.
No, I think Ned hit on something too earlier that we talked about, that the importance of for these high school schools is the gate money, you know, the fans being there.
Yeah, exactly.
And they still don't know how that's going to work out yet. That's still to be decided, but that is an important aspect of it.
That's a great, great question. I mean, you know, when you talk about the fans coming in, you know, at NBA, we have a big stadium. We have a lot of stands. So what we can do is we can maybe block off sections to where you have four people sit here, and then put extra stands in the back of the end zone and then the other back of the end zone and then do the same thing. So you still can come and watch the game and still be there. Or, you know, you have something on your website at your school to where if you want to watch the game, you pay the same admission that you would pay, you know, going to the gate physically and then pay for it. You can watch it on the website for $7 or $5.
You nailed it. That's the deal.
Little donation.
There you go.
I mean, in the schools who haven't had this, they should have had it all along. They're probably scrambling to get it. But, I mean, this is absolutely the way to do it. No visiting fans. Frankly, no fans probably at all. If that's what it's going to take to get a season. And then you just charge people $10 a pop to come watch the game. And you know what? If they all get together and they watch it at one person's house to save $10, and, you know, good for them. But I think that's the only way. Not the only way. That's the most prudent way to do it. Charge people a subscription or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And like Chris, you were saying too, and Ed, you too, I mean, you want to get these kids some kind of finalization for their senior year. You don't want to miss that whole senior year, that whole experience of being a 4-year player and you know, finishing out your high school career, heading into college, and never get to get back on the football field. For any of us who played the game, and you know, even if it's just high school, it meant a lot to do that last game your senior year.
But you know what? The positive thing about all this is when all this stuff clears out, it's going to make you appreciate a lot of things. So now, when I'm coaching my kids and when they're tired and they don't want to you know, play anymore, you can go back to year 2020, COVID-19, and it'll make you remember that when you were sitting in the house watching Judge Judy, watching Judge Mathis, instead of playing football. So to give you appreciation to where, you know what, we were sitting around a long time and now we get a chance to play, so let's do this thing.
Mm-hmm. And those seniors, if they do miss this season, you know, they would give anything to have to run one more wind sprint, one more hill, one more snap.
Exactly.
Well, you always appreciate it more when it's taken away. You don't appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it's taken away, you go, hey, wait a minute now. Same with injuries. You know, same kind of thing. You want to get back out there as quickly as you can. And once you've had a taste of it and it's removed from you, it hurts that much more.
And this one is, you know, Chris, you and I, our careers both ended really not on our terms. And, you know, that's always a hard thing to swallow. There are some days where, you know, I still think about it and I'm angry about it. They are farther apart now than they used to be, obviously. But when something's taken from you and you don't get the opportunity as a final say, that can stick with you. I mean, that can really stick with you. And especially a kid who maybe borderline could play in college and he doesn't get his senior season. and he doesn't get that scholarship or he doesn't get that spot, you know, that could change the path of somebody's life if they let it, if they dwell on it. But you know how it is when things taken from you and not on your terms, and that can haunt you for a while.
Shoot. And boy, go ahead, Chris.
No, I just remember when we would have tour days in Houston when we was at Trinity, and it was hot, and I'm like weighing like 186, and then leaving there weighing 169, and be like, man, I don't, I'm serious. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm tired. Right now, I would love to put my mouth guard in. I would love to put my helmet on, put my shoulder pads on, and play right now, because you never understand what you have until it's gone.
Golly.
And boy, the stakes have gotten so much higher now because everybody's trying to figure out a way to get this back and to get these kids on the field and get pro sports back. And yep, we see these cases increasing. We've seen pro NFL players having to pull back. The season could be delayed, and so far it's not. But it's so much more as sitting on this pandemic that if people social distance, wear your mask, you can really make a big difference, because if this thing gets out of control again like a wildfire like it was in March and April, everything's going to be shut down.
Do you remember, it's been a month and a half now, for people who are maybe listening to the show for the first time, I played professional golf on the Asian tour for a number of years. So a bunch of buddies over there, and one of my good buddies lives in Hong Kong, and he's with Morgan Stanley, and his wife is Chinese, and she would always wear a mask. And when this started to break, he refused to wear a mask. You know, the American, the rough American refused to wear a mask. And she finally broke him down, and he wears one now every day. And he said to me, probably 2 months ago, a month and a half, he said, if everybody wear a mask, we would be able to shorten the spread of this thing by about 75%. And we just didn't, you know, America, especially in the Southeast, people just didn't listen. Our leadership provided no leadership. And guess what? Now we're paying the price. Brutal. Totally brutal.
We learned today, too, that two of the preseason games are going to be canceled this year. We'll talk about that as Michael Zamuler continues during this COVID-19 pandemic. We're back in a moment.
Your home is your castle.
Club community, The Grove, located just outside of Nashville on Arno Road and Interstate 840, lies this private community unlike any other, The Grove, 1,100 acres, gated community, offering a distinctive lifestyle, Williamson County's only Greg Norman signature golf course, full-service spa, fitness facilities, tennis, swimming pools, world-class dining, custom homes from four different builders. Check them out at thegroveandgroveliving.com off I-840. And Arno Road. Well, we got some more casualties from really COVID-19. Two preseason games have been canceled. We'll have two, but there's normally four. Chris Sanders, from the NFL perspective and the players' perspective, does that hurt?
I think it does, and the reason why, I know a lot of people don't like the preseason games, but it's going to really hurt, because you're going to evaluate players and you're going to lose out on a lot of good players because you can't really evaluate. I know you're going to have, you know, different guys to play, but they're not going to be able to play that much because you don't really have that many games. And you got to make sure that you have your starters prepared, because you can't do this. This is one thing we can't do, and we had this last year, that if you don't play these veteran guys and then they try to play the first game when they missed a lot of time, then you're going to see a lot of injuries. But these first two games, these older guys are definitely going to have to play both games, not just one quarter and sit out. They're going to have to play both these games to get ready for the regular season game.
You know, it's so interesting, isn't it? It really is like the stock market, where the blue chip companies are going to be the ones who come out of this thing. And so the rich get richer in a way. The same is going to be true for sports. The blue chip players are going to be looked after. They're going to be protected. The drafted players are going to be protected. They're going to be in the fold. If you're on the outside looking in, you're going to have to do something exceptional in these couple of games, in these practice opportunities that you get, because, you know, Chris, they're going to go with the player. If they have to choose between the untested player and the guy who's been in the league for 3 years,
right?
The, the undrafted player, CJ, for example, the better choice.
Yeah.
But he hasn't played, and this guy has, and we know what we're getting with this guy. So we're going to go with this guy.
But you know what the plus is? That somebody does well but gets cut. But just imagine if the guy that makes the team, he gets hurt, who you think they'll bring back? The CJ.
That's right.
So the thing about it is, even though you may be a leg behind, you're still in the fold that they bring you in because they see you. If they see you and you start doing offense, even if you play those two games and get cut, somebody gets hurt at receiver, they're going to bring you back. So, you know, I think that's the plus about the whole situation.
You know what? Let me just add this, Bob. You're right, because if you can survive, if CJ can just hang in there and survive, and that happens, it's going to happen. Then he gets a chance to play, and he gets a chance to become a blue chip.
Exactly. See, here's the cool part about it is, and you alluded to it before, that they're really going to protect those older guys to really not play that much. So who you think is going to play? A lot of those guys that are under the radar to prove themselves. So say if CJ gets in Dallas, Atlanta, wherever, and all of a sudden that joker scores like 3 touchdowns in the preseason game, they're like, and then goes in the next preseason game, scores 2. That's how you make yourself available. Because I told CJ that when you get into camp, that when they turn on the film, they see your jersey number in every single play. I don't care if it's blocking. I don't care if it's being coached. I don't care if it's getting water. They see you on film. Because when somebody gets hurt, they're going to remember, that guy scored 3 touchdowns. That guy scored 2 touchdowns. So that's definitely how you got to handle it.
Chris, how much does this hurt draft choices, rookie players, people who've been traded for, people who don't know the system, who are still learning the system? How much does this set them back not to be able to have those 2 extra games before the big games really start?
I mean, it sets them back a lot. I mean, if you look at the situation with Cam Newton, why is Cam Newton, getting picked up so late? It's because they're uncertain if he's healthy or not. And the reason why a lot of people are not getting signed or are not being in camp is not that they're not healthy or not that they can't play. It's because the unknown. Are you healthy? Can you make plays? Can you adapt to this system? Because they physically can't see you. And when you physically can't see anybody, then it's kind of hard to say, does he fit the identity of our team? And that's kind of the situation, with CJ. You know, the reason why he really didn't get picked up is because he couldn't really have a pro day. And when you don't have a pro day and they physically can't see you, so they don't know if you physically can adapt to the identity of the team.
What's he going to have to do? How's he going to get CJ? You're using him as a guinea pig here, the test pilot. But we obviously are very biased and want him in the mix.
Yeah.
But what does he have to do to even get a spot? Because it almost feels like I wouldn't be surprised if the practice time leading into these preseason games is minimal. I mean, I'm talking really minimal. So what does he have to do to just be in camp? Like, I mean, is it making a lot of calls and having his agent work on everything?
See, the cool part about that is, and that's a great question, is CJ is staying in contact with his agent, and the agent is telling him what's happening. There's about 7 or 8 teams that still want to work CJ out when they get clear to have people to come into their building. And once he gets in there and he proves himself that that he's worthy of signing a contract, and once he gets in camp, then it's all in him to make the team. And what CJ's doing is he understands that it's a process. He understands that COVID-19 has hindered a lot of things that's going on. But this is what he can control. He's getting up every morning, prepare like he's going to sign on the team. And let me tell you something. This is my son. My son challenged me on this. He said this. I said, CJ, I said, man, just hang in there. And he looked at me. He said, Dad, I'm not just hanging in here. He said, I'm grinding, and I'm going to get what's mine. That's the mindset that you got to have. He challenged me. He challenged me. He said, Dad, I'm not hanging on. He said, I'm going to get what's mine. So when he gets in camp, he's going to take a roster position. Nobody's going to give it to him. He's going to take it. So you just got to have the mindset that even though COVID-19 is hindering a lot of stuff, but it's not going to hinder my attitude that when I show up to Dallas, Atlanta, Green Bay, whatever team that has me show up, I'm going to show them that I have the mentality to make your roster. That's how you handle it. Dang gummit.
Reverend Sanders.
Dang gummit. Dang gummit. I had to put a dang gummit after it.
Man, I love it.
How much does the loss of those two preseason games impact the smaller market teams money-wise? I mean, that's two big full stadiums of money. You're not going to cut cash in this year.
Man, that ain't going to happen. When the NFL is making $12 or $13 billion off of TV sales alone, them two little games ain't going to mean nothing. That's why they let them go so easy, because it ain't going to make a difference. Because if you look at the preseason games, look at how many people's in the stadium. It's me, Bob, and Nate. That's all the people that's in the stadium. It's us three. The tickets are sold. But, you know, they don't really need that, because you're making a lot of money from the TV sales alone. And you can make that up in that capacity.
With this,
they gonna give me my money back for those two games?
No.
I'll bet not. I'll bet that's a
no. That'd be a negatory.
that'll be your donation.
With this surge of new cases, and we've already seen some impact on some teams. If the season gets, teams going back, they don't make it back by July 28th. If it's in the middle of August, how much does that compress the season? Can they still continue and stay on schedule? Is it going to push everything back a couple weeks or more?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think they're going to stay on schedule for the games. I mean, I know they're going to really. Are you talking about NFL and high school?
Yeah, NFL mainly.
Yeah. Oh, NFL. They're going to stay on the course. I mean, they're going to stay on the course. They're going to start camp on time. They're going to do everything on time. Now, if they say they have to shut it down for a little bit, they may shut it down for a little bit. But I'm telling you, they're going to have camp. They're going to prepare like they're playing the first game in September. And that's the mindset you got to have with all 32 clubs.
And just test everybody all the time.
Everybody. I mean,
they're going to have
everybody.
The rapid test that nobody else can get. I'm just throwing that out there. That's a whole different conversation, though.
When we come back, this is sports director Corey Curtis will join us at the bottom.
Come on, man.
Then Mueller continues after this. More discussion. Stay with us.
It starts small.
Michael Mueller rolls on this Wednesday night. This is sports director Corey Curtis kind of joining us. Corey, we've been talking about the continued impact of COVID-19 on sports, high school football. Saw some NFL teams have some positive cases. Football, after the governor decided to extend the emergency order, looked like it was in big trouble. But it looks like, you can tell me, looks like they're going to try to get some games played. It won't be a full season, but they're working on a proposal right now.
Well, they're working on four different ideas proposed by the TSSAA to the Board of Control. And one is for a 7-game season with a full 32-team playoff bracket. And then the second one, which is the one I think that's going to get the most traction, is for an 8-game regular season and a 16-team playoff bracket. So you would lose one round of the playoffs, but the top two teams from each region would make the playoffs. And I think everybody can be pretty happy with that scenario. And then there's a third one that has a 9-game season, but only 3 rounds of the playoffs, so only the champions of the region or district or however you want to term it play would get in, and I don't know that that's going to fly, because there are some awfully good regions out there that you would hate to see only one team get in. The other thing that's interesting is they're trying to ensure that everybody gets to play more games. So even if you don't get to make the playoffs, they've pushed that all those teams who don't make the postseason get to play 2 additional games once the playoffs start. You know, there's a million layers to this, and then there's a fourth option for a full season with no playoffs whatsoever, and I don't think that will fly. So we'll see. They're going to make the decision next week on exactly how they want to do this. But it's all predicated on starting practice August 30th and starting gameplay September 18th.
If you had to bet $100, what do you think happens?
You mean on these proposals?
Yeah, on these proposals, which way do you think they lean, and where do you end up?
I would think they would go with the 8-game, 16-team bracket. That would be the one that I think makes the most sense. The season's 10 games. It would give everybody 10 games, because the teams who don't make the playoffs would get 2 more games. I guess they could address teams that go 1 and out in the playoffs would only get 9. You give them a chance to play another game afterwards. But it gives them, the most games of the season. The interesting part of this also, there's a number of layers to this, is the state championship weekend isn't going to change. because Cookeville has told them they've had to line up 700 to 800 volunteers for that weekend. And if they want to move it, they can't ensure them the same type of support and event that they would normally have. So it needs to stay on the weekend that it's set up for in Cookeville. They don't want to move it.
You know, Corey. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead, Chris.
No, you know, I know everybody wants to have the football season, but do they have a backup plan to where if kids start getting sick from different schools?
Well, we don't know about what the protocol is going to be yet for positive tests. And really, you know, positive tests are only if kids go get sick and go to the hospital or go to the doctor and get tested, because those tests are $100 a pop. And, you know, the TSSAA and the schools don't have the capacity to do that. So we're just going to have to rely on it. What happens if you have positive tests is a big question that remains. And I did ask Bernard Childress, the executive director, today during his availability. I said, in these plans that you put together, is there a built-in scenario that if the state of emergency gets extended for a week or 2 weeks or a month? And he basically, you know, just kind of chuckled at that, said they would have to tackle that as they moved on. But obviously, okay, No one wants to see that, because any other kind of thing would seriously put the season in doubt. I heard a little bit of your show earlier, and I heard about the scenario of flipping the seasons.
Yep.
And they really don't want to do that for two reasons. Number one, the spring sport athletes have already lost the season. Mm-hmm. What happens if you flip the season and then you have to cancel the fall sports because COVID-19 keeps going up, and they lose a second straight season then?
Yeah, Corey, that's a problem. But I guess shed a little light on, for everybody, how important financially are these football seasons and these games to these high schools?
They're very important. And that was another question I asked him about, was when they were pushing to try to play as many games as possible, how much of it had to do with the mental health of the kids and how much of it had to do with the budgets of the schools. And they were both very important because, you know, we all know that in college athletics, football and basketball basically pay for all the other sports.
Right.
Well, it's very similar for a lot of high schools, especially in the rural high schools here, where the football and the basketball programs and their home gates pay for virtually all of the non-revenue sports: golf, tennis, softball, baseball, track and field, cross country. Those get paid by the gates from football and from basketball. So it is very important that those schools have the ability to have games, football games and basketball games, if they want to be able to pay for these other games to be paid. It's extremely important.
Corey, your interview tonight too had some really enlightening information with how important these games are to these young men who get to play, and the mental aspect of it, and how he was saying he's seen, you know, signs of depression and signs of you know, dejection in 66% of the kids out there that play the sport that they want to play so badly, that they're, you know, they've been through this since March, and some have already lost their spring sports, and now they're thinking about losing football.
Well, that was Bernard Childress, the TSSAA executive director. He was citing a report done by the University of Wisconsin that was delving into the mental health of high school students. And he said, yeah, 66% are showing signs of depression. And I agree with what Chris was having to say about this earlier. It's not just the loss in competition. It's the loss in camaraderie. It's the loss in time with your friends. It's loss in time with the people that are, you know, look, I know your families are important to you, but when you're growing up and football is your sport, or basketball is your sport, or softball is your sport, your team and your coaches, they're your community. And when you can't be in your community, it's really difficult. I toss around this example, and it's a microcosm. My daughter is 7 years old, and she got pulled out of school this year because Williamson County School shut down. Her soccer season got canceled. Her seven-year-old soccer season got canceled. And her karate studio got shut down to where she had to do virtual karate. And that's nice, but it's not the same thing. And I'm not prepared to say my daughter was depressed, but she had behaviors that were, there were behaviors that she was exhibiting that were not normal. Because you're seven, you have a hard time expressing it. But when you bring your teddy bear and your stuffed monkey to the dinner table and the breakfast table, and you sit down and you feed them at every meal and you make sure they're working 24 hours a day, that tells you that something's going on in her little
head. That's a great point.
And so, you know, just because she's seven, you know, kids that are 9, 11, 13, 15, growing up is hard. We all know growing up is hard, you know, and growing up in a pandemic is certainly hard as well. Harder.
COVID's had an impact on the pro sports. We saw the two preseason games. They're going to be canceled. Is it a big deal?
Look, we all expected it to happen. And when the NFL announced they were going to start training camps on time, we knew it was going to happen. Okay. Because with no OTAs and no mini camp, there was no way they were going to be ready to play that first week of the preseason. I mean, these guys have had no time on the field together. There are guys that still have never set foot inside St. Thomas Sports Park that are part of the Tennessee Titans. The coaches need time with the players. The NFLPA has expressed the players need time to get into football shape. And really, to sacrifice 3 days, because that's what you do for a preseason game, the day before, then you play the game, and how much do those guys play in that game? Not very much. And then the day after, they typically take off. The coaches would much rather have those guys on the practice field for those 3 days and in the meeting room for those 3 days, considering all the time that they have missed. The other thing that I like about this aspect from canceling the fourth preseason game is it gives them a good 2+ weeks to isolate after the last preseason game and make sure they're as clear of COVID-19 as they can be. And I think that that's a point that hasn't been talked about that I think is important here.
How do they do anything with fans this year? I mean, is there any chance that fans are in the stands at any point during the season?
Well, look, I think everybody's going to push to have fans in the stands because, number one, fans want to be there. People need the revenue. They need the revenue. And, you know, they want to be able to make it happen. I talked to Chris Massaro from Middle Tennessee the other day. They've got masks all ready to go for people, and they've got plans for 50% occupancy, which would be about 15,000 people, where they spread people around Floyd Stadium. Everybody's wearing a mask. And, you know, there are plans for people to do it. It's going to take some cooperation from everybody. It's going to take some understanding that your seat's not going to be your seat this year, that the person you sit next to may be sitting 18 feet away from you, okay? You may have to enter the stadium differently. You may have to leave the stadium differently. It's just like our everyday lives now. You're going to be asked to do things a little bit differently. I just wish everybody would understand this is temporary. We're not asking you to wear a mask the rest of your life. We get asked to wear a seatbelt every day, but nobody seems to mind that. We can't breathe with a mask on, yet surgeons are in surgery for 12 straight hours with one on, and they seem to be able to pull through it. I hear a lot of lame excuses for people who don't mind getting themselves sick or other people sick because they don't want to do it. If we will all cooperate, we can go to games. Maybe not fully, but we can have games. If we will all just work together, stop thinking of ourselves and start thinking of the people around us, and all of us can enjoy a better life.
We could slow the spread immensely if everybody would just wear a mask. Just that, and social distance. Just that.
I think Chris Massaro said because they're talking with medical people just like everybody else is, said if 30% more people would wear masks, we could get this under control.
Chris, where are we on Jadeveon Clowney watch, Derrick Henry long-term contract watch? Has anything changed since the last time we talked?
Well, we're running out of time on the Derrick Henry front.
I told you.
Is it July 15th? Is it July 15th, 16th? Isn't that the deadline?
Boy, 15th.
15th? You know, the thing is when you delve into that contract, you know, the franchise, that $10 million isn't bad.
I'll take it.
Well, I mean, like when you look at, like, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's contract and, like, what he makes, he made like $6 million last year. You know, you can design these contracts however you want to design them. And as I've said, you know, Henry's going to make $10+ million this year if he doesn't get an extension. And if he plays well, he's going to guarantee himself a 20% raise. Not many people can do that. And so he's got the option. Like, I still think optically it's good for the Titans in their business to extend him. But they've got to come to a deal that makes both of them happy. And no one has heard what will make Derrick Henry happy, and I think that's part of the problem.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question. I'm curious if NFL contracts are the same as some other sports in that if they don't play the game, you don't get paid. What about your guaranteed money up front? You know, what if the whole season's canceled? Do they have some kind of force majeure in the contract that says, you know, if for any reason in the universe the games aren't played, then you don't get paid? I'm curious. I don't know the insides of the NFL contract rules.
Well, look, signing bonus money is guaranteed. All right.
Yeah.
You sign that contract, that money is yours. Roster bonus money is guaranteed. You are on the roster at the date that it's designated. That is your money. Now, as far as game checks go, Chris, you might be better off to answer this than mm-hmm. I will. Can you get paid a game check if there's no game? That's a pretty good question.
That's a good question. I don't know because, you know, we've never been in this situation before. So I don't know. I mean, that's a great question.
I mean, I have a hard time.
If you miss a game with injury. If you miss a game with injury, do you get paid?
Oh, yeah, you get paid. Oh, yeah.
That's just being sick at work. I mean, you get paid.
So
that's
interesting. I don't know. I know, you know, a lot of golf contracts have a minimum number of events, but they also have this force majeure in there that if you're not able to participate in the minimum number of events because the minimum number of events didn't exist, and it literally says in a lot of these contracts, even my broadcasting contract, it says if for any reason in the universe, which last time I checked is pretty big. If it's not played, you know, depending on who, which side is favoring, then they either don't have to pay you, or you don't get paid.
Well, listen, I thought about this with the baseball players and the stink that they were making. It is hard to justify getting paid when there is no revenue. Okay. I don't understand how anyone expects to get paid when there's no money coming in. If there's no TV money, if there's no money from people coming through the turnstiles, what money is it that you expect to get paid with?
Good the point. TV deals. What about the TV deals?
But if there's no game, Chris, they have to give the money back. That's the way TV works.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
You got to give it away. I don't know. I just thought they got it just because.
I mean, look, if here's an example. At News 2. Say we sell an ad to The Grove, your fine sponsor, for $500, and we promise them a 10 rating on a show. Okay. If we do a 5 rating, they get half their money back.
Yep.
Okay? That's the way it works. So if you don't have a show, you get a 0 rating, and you get all your money back. And so, you know, look, the networks aren't just going to give $7 billion to the NFL and then have them not play a season and go, yeah, we're good. Keep it. You know, the Comcast, our deal with Comcast is good. It's going to make up for it. That is not going to happen at all. You know, you with no games, you have no revenue.
How about Davion Clowney? He says he's open to all offers and plans to sign by the start of the season.
Kind of sure.
You know, he's the only one who seems to know his plan.
That's
true. Point. I mean, like, he's turned down those two deals from Seattle and Cleveland, allegedly. He's got an offer from the Titans, which we all expect to be a low-ball offer. I believe that's his fallback offer, and he is just hoping somebody comes at him with an over-the-top offer. Other than that, he's going to wait. Because, look, it behooves him to sign a one-year deal or a two-year deal because there are two new TV contracts coming. And look, the salary cap could take a hit this next year, but when the two new TV deal contracts come in, the salary cap is going to skyrocket. And players like Jadeveon Clowney believe that they're going to be in line to get a lot more money. So I think in the next year or two, you will see more shorter-term deals from players or players seeking shorter-term deals. That's why Dak Prescott being on the franchise tag this year at $31 million isn't a bad deal because the cap is going to grow massively when those new TV deals come in.
So that's an interesting question then, because part of you says, okay, he's going to play harder in a one-year contract deal, because with these new television deals coming down the pipeline, there's going to be way more money. The other side is like, hey, you don't want to get hurt, because you want to make it to that next level. So are we going to get the Jadeveon Clowney? Like, it's going to be an Albert Haynesworth deal that he's on or he's off. He's playing great or he's basically non-existent.
Well, Albert was out of his mind great those 2 years that he was on his contract year. He was absolutely unbelievable. So that's what they're hoping with Vic Beasley. They're hoping they bring in Vic Beasley out of 1 year deal, and he comes in and he is, you know, as they say, pissed off for greatness, and is out to prove that he's worth the money this year. And, you know, it's like the Patriots, distressed asset. And Vic Beasley is a little bit of a distressed asset. And it'll be interesting to see. You know, there's talk that Jadeveon Clowney could sit out the season. Now, I think that's a mistake because you never recoup that money. And also, I think you only lose value when you don't play. Because nobody's better when they come back from a year off.
I think he'll be signed with somebody by the opening day. Yeah. Question is, does Seattle come back at him, or does he become a Titan? I think there's a real good shot he becomes a Titan.
Look, in the video game, he's a Titan. So I'm going with that.
It's done. News News Sports Director Corey Curtis, always kind of you to join us for Michaels and Mueller. Thank you, pal. We'll see you back on News 2 at 10.
All right, guys.
Michaels and
Mueller
continues after this.
One more segment. That's all we have time for here on Michaels and Mueller tonight. Ned Michaels, Bob Mueller, Chris Sanders, and our man Ryan Albanese, the only man in studio. Thank you, Ryan, for holding down the fort. This segment brought to you by Visit Mississippi. And we could go there. We're not going to yet. We're going to wait till our numbers go down and COVID clears out. And then Bob and Chris, I mean, we can go anywhere we want, but I'm thinking we go to the beach. We set up shop, peel some shrimp, have an adult cocktail, maybe sling some cards. I've never seen Chris Sanders' golf swing.
Oh,
I want
terrible.
To see that action. But I just want to go relax. Let's just get an umbrella in the sand by the beach down in Mississippi and some good music. Check them out. Visit Mississippi.org.
I'm thinking about Mississippi tonight because I'm having shrimp and grits for dinner. It's so good.
Ooh, yeah.
Heck, we can't go there either because, sadly, they're having the same kind of giant impact and a big COVID outbreak. So they've kind of pulled back a little bit, too. So we're waiting for this COVID thing to go away before we can go to the beach and do that plan, which is a good plan.
We got a dream. We got it. There's always hope. We got to have hope. Man, no kidding. I'm ready to eat some shrimp and grits down there.
Oh.
Really, for sure, on the bay. Hey, I want to talk about something that I think is more impactful. We only have a couple minutes, then people may know, but minor league baseball canceled.
Yeah, gone.
This is huge. This is absolutely huge because, you know, those guys need the development. They need the contract. They need the money. You're going to lose so many players just because a year with no income, they can't make it. They have to go do something else, and then they just won't come back. I think this is way bigger than people realize.
A lot of these little cities with single-A ball teams, they're going to lose a lot of revenue. It's going to be hard for them to maintain. Here in Nashville, there's a chance they're trying to get two, like, all-star teams together of players that are just about on the cusp but are ready to go up. So that if someone gets hurt, they've got a pool of players to go up to the majors. So there's a real chance there will be baseball in Nashville. It won't be the Sound, but they're trying to get two, like I said, all-star teams of players here so they can play games.
That's old school. Remember when the team used to travel around by bus? I mean, like, really, like the 1920s and stuff? That'd be pretty cool.
Bull Durham.
Anyway.
I think we've done it, boys. I think we've done
it.
Let's thank News 2 Sports Director Corey Curtis, Chris Sanders, Ned Michael,
appreciate you.
Mueller. Thanks, guys. That'll do it for Michael and Mueller. Have a good night.
Love you guys.
Stay safe, boys. Love you.